Amen. The Lord, we just praise you and we thank you that tonight's going to be an awesome time. Everybody's going to get involved. It's going to be a time of declaration and decrees tonight. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that everybody here is going to have some wonderful things to add. And not only that, the enemy is not permitted to come into this fellowship whatsoever at all. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that we're going to have just an awesome time and with you and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Has anybody got anything they'd like to pray about? Well, I ran across something that I would like to speak about tonight. Just a little bit, and we'll see where it goes from where I started. I remember a preacher getting up and speaking for 8 hours on divine healing and what have you, and a lot of other things. And when he got through, he asked if there were any questions. And a young girl raised her hand, and he said, "Yes, ma'am." And she said, "I want to know how you could stand up there for 8 hours and not have to go to the bathroom." So he said, "Out of all the healings and things that you've seen tonight, that's your question? Yeah, I want to know." He said, "Well, it's very simple." He said, "I learned from, oh, what's the guy's name? Well, anyway, it was another preacher, an older preacher. I'll remember here in a minute. He said that I speak to my body and tell my body what it can do. It doesn't tell me what it can do. I tell it what it can do. And it obeys. It has to obey. I declare it, I decree it. And that's what happens. And and then I ran across earlier today this thing that said this, and I that interested it piqued my interest. And here's the headlines of the prayer thing. It's called Command Your Day Before the Day Does. In other words, you command what's going to happen during your day rather than the day deciding what is going to happen. And I said, "Man, that's intriguing." So I went and read the thing. And I'd like to read some of that tonight to give you a gist of what our authority is, even in our day. Would y'all like to hear it? Okay. I think can we wait just a little bit until everybody gets on because it is a little bit early. Does anybody have a prayer that they'd like to pray before we get going here? You got a song, Judy? Okay. Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
Well, I went out and took about a half hour walk after dinner, right before here. And I had fudge with me. And well, let me preface it with this. The video that Julie posted about the Muslims in Chicago, I had seen that, or I don't know if it was last night or today, earlier today. But anyway, I was praying about that and doing like spiritual warfare, praying for the Muslims, and what came to my mind is this one house that I passed, and my sense is that they were Muslims, and I think that it's parents and grandparents and grandkids that live there. Anyway, and so when I went out to walk, I always take my little pouch with my little goodies along to share if I need to. The Lord gives me the opportunity, and I didn't even think of them. Of this house, but anyway, we were passing by, and we'll come to the yard, and Fudge When she gets tired or hot, she likes to lay down in the grass with the grass on her, the cool grass on her belly, you know, and likes to take a little pit stop. And so the older lady, probably the grandmother, was sitting there in a like a wheelchair chair, not a wheelchair, but a walker with wheels that you can sit down on. I think that's what she was sitting on. And she was smiling, you know, at Fudge. I waved at her and she waved and she seemed to like be getting a kick out of Fudge just laying there in the grass. So I said to Fudge, I said, you want to go over and see her? So I walked over and I thought maybe she might want to pet Fudge, but she didn't. And I said to her, my name is, I'm Missy. And I said, I pointed to her, I said, what's your name? And she says, no English. And she said a word, and I thought she said Muslim, and I wasn't positive. And I actually, I think I might have said this to her before she said that, but I said to her, I said, Jesus loves you. And she said, no English. And then a couple of times she said Muslim, and then she said Allah. And but I still pulled out one of my tracts and gave it to her, and I said, somebody can read this to you. And so I walked off, and I was praying in the spirit, and I'm like, Lord, give that whole household a visitation, Lord, bring them into your kingdom. And you know, the enemy tried to attack me with paranoia and fear and everything because they're Muslims, and I visited the, you know, but nobody else was around. Nobody else was around. You know, it was just her sitting out there. So, Lord, I thank you for this encounter, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that she keeps it and that someone reads it, and that you do bring salvation, bring repentance and belief in you, Lord, and tear down that false religion, that evil religious spirits in that household. And I bind them in the name of Jesus, and I command them out of their house in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask you to go and visit them by the power of your spirit. Just fill that house up and bring repentance, Lord, and fill them up, Lord, with your spirit. And I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for delivering them from this evil, wicked religion, Lord, and bringing them into your kingdom in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we ask that you change that bunch. You come visit them. Change that family. Let them be a part of the real kingdom. Thank you, Father. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
I know personally, I know a few Muslims, and there's a the Shiites, which are the more of the aggressive. Never met anyone like that, but the ones I've met are the Sunni, and they're very kind. Well, you know, every person's different, every religion, but you know what the Lord was teaching me through all of that when I was interacting with them, where, you know, that's all they know. That's what they were raised in. They don't know any different. And you know, it's God that has to give them that revelation, like Missy was praying that they would have, you know, that encounter with the Lord. And so, but we do pray for those of your elect, out of every tribe, tongue, and nation, Lord, that you have your elect that you're going to turn from these false gods, because there's only one God, there's only one true God, and all other gods are no gods. But that's how they see it. That's what they were raised up with. That's all they know. And they're just under a bunch of law, legalism, and threats, and control and manipulation, and they're deceived. Father, we thank you, Lord, for bringing light into their darkness, God, that they can see who you really are, and that you're the only one that can break through, Lord. And we thank you. With God, nothing shall be impossible. And I thank you, Lord. It's just like it's impossible for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, it's impossible for a Muslim to enter into the kingdom either, except with God. So, Lord, we thank you for changing hearts and allowing people to repent. We bless you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We had a Muslim work with us in one of the places I worked at, and we would minister to him, and he would listen, man. He would get fired up. We'd tell him, he said, man, you ought to come to Jesus. You know, he said, I can't. I said, what do you mean you can't? He said, my family will leave me. My family could kill me. He said, it's very dangerous for me to go Christian. And I said, well, what kind of religion is that? You know, he said, well, it's a very strict one in that regard. So it's a lot of these people might want to be free, but they're scared to be free. You know, unless they understand who Jesus is. And that's why it's imperative that we understand and tell them, look, Jesus is a Jesus of love. He'll keep you from harm if you believe, and that kind of thing. So, yeah, that's a very controlling religion, Islam is. And depending on, like Julie was talking about, depending on, or Missy, whichever one it was, which sect that you belong to determines whether you live or die if you go Christian. Like I believe it was Julie said that the Shiites, they're just nutcases. Yeah. They're going to go with what they believe and to heck with everything else. All right. Anyone else? Lord, we just pray for all the Muslims in the world, and we ask and we pray that you would get elect out of all of them. And we praise you for that, Father. Yeah. Radical and murderers and thieves and pedophiles. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Yeah, Andrew.
I just want to remind us all that where would we be if there wasn't a Pentecost in the book of Acts? All these people who were Greeks and had gods and goddesses, they too had to hear a revelation from God. All the Gentiles did, and the Jews too. So for the new covenant, and that should seem amazing to have these Gentiles coming in, and some of them even apparently like Timothy, or he was half Greek half Jew, to be an apostle even. So, and how anyone believes, really, sort of makes you think about all the different denominations that are out there. The multiverse denominationalism, sometimes I re think of it that way, and how they have to be brought back to believing, even. So, which is the parable of the sower, because there's a lot of people in that first land. Anyways, that they have to be liberated because they actually don't know that it's God and Christ living in you. So it's just a shame that the revelation doesn't come to them. And sometimes we really need to be reminded about it a lot. So praise and glory to God.
Well, if you've seen like I have, there have been very many Muslims that the Lord has appeared in their family. He has appeared to them physically in their family and talked to them. And they'll ask him, who are you? He said, I am Jesus. And he'll sit down and I am the love that you seek. I am the Lord. And he'll talk to them and they'll change. It makes no difference what the Muslim believe. They saw Jesus. They saw him and he talked to them and they know he's Lord. King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And they don't care what the Muslims do, they're going with Jesus. That is what he wants us to show them, is that love and that power that the people of God have. And we're going to see it here shortly with this anointing that's coming. Yeah, pal.
So when I think it was when Angelica was talking the last meeting and giving her testimony about reading and praying in tongues and various other things. And I had been thinking for quite a while. I know that when I received the Holy Spirit in the Baptist when I was still in the Baptist church. But and I sought God for probably, I don't know, had to be a year or maybe 2 years. But when I it finally dawned on me that it was that I just received the Holy Spirit as a gift, I never had the I had never had the expression of tongues at that time, and I never experienced I don't know if it was the prophecy or whatever. I never had that same Pentecost experience. And I've always there's always been a doubt in my mind as whether or not I received the Holy Spirit the same way they did in Acts, because of the lack of those initial gifts, I guess you might say, or experience. I mean, I know a few times when I broke out in tongues in prayer, but I guess probably because I wasn't educated, didn't I wasn't aware of it being I guess in that environment, that I was almost startled by what I was hearing. As a matter of fact, I quit praying and was just listening to myself, and wondering, but because of that, I've always felt, I don't know if restricted or limited or something there. Or I don't know if I felt shortchanged, like I didn't get the full experience or the experience. There's always that doubt that is there. And I mean, I speak in tongues now and pray in tongues now, and have gotten fairly, but for me to do so for an hour or something like that, that would be, I can see that as being difficult. I don't, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's a lack of faith or lack of, or intimidation or whatever it is, that there's a certain, I feel a sense of limitation there. However, I know that there is also a reason for that. Excuse me. So, I am confessing that because I don't want that sense or that feeling of limitation there, because I feel like it's a limitation to the Lord, and the freedom, and the free environment for him to express himself in any way to me, or vice versa. So I think what I'm asking for is prayer in that area. Maybe that's what the deal is. I'm just asking for prayer of release, or prayer of removing doubt, or whatever it would be. So, because I don't know, I just don't feel free in that respect. So, does anybody else experience that?
Yeah,
Or is
I
this just
have.
me?
I have experienced, but I press through anyway. If you understand what I'm saying, I don't allow, and I'm not saying you do. What I'm saying is this: the word is very clear about what the tongues does for you. It refreshes you. It fills you with the Spirit of God. It does all of those things, and the longer you do it, the better off you are physically, mentally, and spiritually. It opens up a portal in your spirit that allows the Spirit of God to converse with you. And then you start seeing things. A lot of people, let me tell you a little bit. We've probably gone over this some before, but a lot of people are seeing in the spirit and don't even realize they're seeing in the spirit. They think it's a mental thing. You know, it's something in my mind. A lot of times it's not. It's spiritual. But praying in tongues, in my estimation, just my opinion, is the doorway to the spiritual in the Lord. It opens up the portals for the gifts, opens up the portals for faith. It's if you what Angelica was talking about the other day was true. Everything she said. In fact, there I'm not even going to mention that. I'm going to leave that alone. It's a little. It's a little out there, but it will. It'll open up the portals to the spiritual realm in you. That will you'll start understanding. You'll start getting revelations out of the Word. Things will start popping out to you. Things will start coming in your mind to look up. You'll be praying in the spirit, like I was talking about the other night. I could be praying in the spirit, and the Lord will put names in my head that I hadn't said in years. That's somebody that I'm praying for when I'm praying in the spirit, because I always ask the Lord, Lord, pray in me, through me, what you want me to pray for out there, whatever it is. And I'm going to pray in the spirit, and you can guide my spiritual language to do whatever it needs to do, and he'll do it. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, I was just thinking by that explanation right there that Michael just said, you know, we've all had those times in the Bible where the Lord does give some things for those times that we perhaps did pray in tongues for as long as we could, you know. And it just happens. And even just reading the word will do it for you, because that's just how powerful the word is. And you know, Jesus heard from his Father a lot. But you know, the Father promises you that through grace that he's gonna speak to you. He's gonna call you. He's gonna hearken to you, as it says. He's gonna save you. And you know, he's telling us, he's instructing us, you know, to be separate. You know how separated you've been made through the teachings here that God gave to UBN. And so it's working. touch no unclean thing, he tells us, and he says, I will receive you. You know how you get messed up with a temptation, or you're trying to go through an ordeal, so touch no unclean thing, because God told us. And those are in the words there where he's specifically saying God said it three times, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And if he's telling you, then you know the verse, and you're going to speak the verse, and you're going to believe the verse, and you're going to want to be in agreement with God on it. And you're not doing it by law, because it's a love thing that you want to, and it's a faithfulness. And plus, God said, I will not leave you orphan. I will come unto you, so just why not give it a try, oh no, it's by his stripes I'm healed. So, I'm not going to touch that unclean thing where I'm not going to be healed, so leave me alone, get lost, you're supposed to have authority, and this is something, a new thing that I'm just recently trying now. So I'm feeling a lot better today, so that's a good thing.
That's good.
And I want it to go completely, because hey, touch no unclean thing. What's an unclean thing? We were told that in the Old Testament the women were considered unclean, but being unclean is when you're letting that word leave you. No, I don't want that, and it's an instruction from the Lord. It's as if you're sitting across the table from the Almighty God and talking to him in those verses of 2 Corinthians 6, 16 to 7 and 1 of 2 Corinthians. And who are you taking with you in the lettuce, since he just advised you before that in the three prior verses? And there's other verses that have God, the one God and Father, who is of us all, who is over all, in all, and through all. So let's do some through all. The Spirit of God in you. If it goes to Jesus, and we all power and authority is given to Jesus, and he's making you a Jesus, as it says in Ephesians 2:10, then let him make you a Jesus. He's going to work on our vessel, and then he will use us, or use who he wants to do work on other vessels. Because nobody can straighten us out, no one can commend themselves, and no one is sufficient of themselves. Even the apostle couldn't straighten them out. It says there, so. Who's doing all the commending? But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners. Well, you're free from sin now, because Jesus said so, God said so, and the Holy Spirit says so, his name says so, and we rejoice that our names are written in the heavens. And I know the Father's there, and Jesus is there, and the Holy Spirit's there, and he's telling us that we were raised with him. If we're raised with him, then come on, man, made, we were raised with him and made to be seated with him. You're a process in progress there to be seated with him in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Made is a creative word. That's Ephesians 2:6, and then there's 2:10. So, and they all collate, all the verses collate. To be knit together so that the presence of God is with us. We get some hang-ups because he's the almighty, powerful God, creator of heaven and earth, the things seen and unseen, knows all things. And you go, well, there he is. He's telling you, be separate. Come out from among them. Be separate, saith the Lord. And touch no unclean thing. Some people will try to convince you, but then there's the guy we don't see who tempts you to be separate. Back to him, repentance in reverse. And I'm just like I go through my own struggles, but I don't discuss them too much, but I have to learn this. I have to learn it. I'll learn it from what people go through, and I'm glad they do discuss the problems they go through, because you can have similar ones. Sometimes I don't understand what some people are saying, but the Lord will give it to me when I need it. I'm just looking at this from a perspective of what's going to come to pass. I read the Gospels. I'm in Luke now, chapter 3, and seems like this guy who's a witness, this John the Baptist, who I believe came in the spirit of Elijah, and a lot of the stuff that he's doing here in chapter 3, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and who's that? And is it the Lord Jesus, or is it the Lord God the Father? Because it's all from the source, from the Father, even with Jesus God, because he said it. And it just seems like there's a lot that this ministry of this man has done to even be immersed in repentance for the remission of sins. Is does that collate? Because we have this division of how many different denominations God only knows, or the division of nations and languages, and that causes religious divisions. But only God can straighten us out. Only God can commend us. Only God can make us sufficient. And he's our source, and we have to go behind him. He goes before us. And if God the Father is serious about creating us in Christ Jesus, as he said he was in Ephesians 2:10, then we just have to let him do it. And I think because of all the different mantras and sayings that are out there, what people just say, and what we hear, what we even hear in passing, going on a walk and hearing other people arguing, and you're inundated with spirits that are against. I think sometimes we get tired or something. I don't know what I could call it, but we have to have our daily bread. We have to have our daily prayers. We have to cope. We have to be proactive when the times come upon us. We have to ask the Lord to help us. We have to ask the Lord to give us something. Like he's trying to show me things here that yeah, you could get in a teaching, because you're taught this, but it has to be fulfilled and evident for yourselves too, that he has to show you these things and bring you through these things. And I think because of the complexity of the mind, everyone has it from a different direction that they have to come at us something, so that they could be all on the same straight and narrow path, be straightened in the Lord. If you're going to be straightened in the Lord, then be straightened in the Lord. He's the Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, of things seen and unseen. And if he can't, he can straighten us out, you can go through a spanking, a chastening, and you hear about them in the Word. You can go through problems, and an adversary is I don't know what word to use, but he wants to get you, and he wants you to not remember that you have authority. He wants you to not remember the authoritative verses that I'm sure you've quoted many times. He wants you to forget that that you have Emmanuel with you, God with us. And it's not just God, but it's his son too. It's the spirit of the new life spirit of Christ in us, and he's sharing with you on what he wants you to do. And yes, some people get a sharing, and a momentum there is started, and an encouragement is started. But it's a corporate encouragement. You see, that's the way it works. When one gets encouraged and gives encouragement, you want that Barnabas guy who's called encouragement to encourage, you know. And when you're discouraged, sometimes you can encourage because he's trying to encourage you, and he will use the perhaps even the weakest vessel to do this, who's really discouraged, you know. Sorrow upon sorrow Paul had because someone was sick unto death, you know. Something had to happen there, and of course the sickness was healed by the Lord. But what took so long? I don't know if that was the questions in their heads. And you see that Paul, even Paul himself, had some struggles. So quite a few struggles. They list them even, you know, and not because he's bragging, but I think he's listing this to these various peoples of wherever they were from, to encourage them. Look, if he can do this for me, he can do it for you know. And he does it for us. He's called you into something, and he wants you to cooperate with him to the end, to see it come to pass. And I, you know, it really is that knothole thing, you know, where you can push a knothole in a board out one way, but if you try to pull it through the other way, that's the way it's going through, you know. He said, oh no, you know, you've got problems too many. I have to bring you in this way. I'm going to pull the knothole the other way because I can do it. You can't. And I don't know. So praise and glory to God. And I would say that what we go through, everyone else has been through, not only in this generation, but previous generations, even in the generations that we read about in the New Testament. And that's why we need God to straighten us out, because he's got tabulation for everyone, you know. He's got an order of events for every single person that has a clarity or needs something here and there. And of course people ask, and they see a healing, they see a restoration. What about some of the people who had to stand alone and they wanted to see a restoration, you know? I'm not saying that to discourage. It's just it's you and God, it's you and the Father. And sometimes that escapes us, you know, and we need refreshing from the Lord. And that's why we need fellowship. It scares me that we only have so few people here today. But you know, some people get really tired on things. It's almost like they need an encouragement every day. And you can imagine that just by reading the word and some of the things that are happening now in the world, some of our brethren, that they too need encouragement, and they too need prayer, and they need that instruction from the Lord for them, for this item, and He'll give it to you. And if holiness has anything to do with being separate or just to stick to the word, fight the good fight of the faith. And the faith is in the Father. And we're even told to share faith with him, to imitate him, to emulate him as beloved children. I'm sure if maturity comes upon us and we start manifesting much more frequently and better, then it's still the same thing. We're going to be an imitator of him as beloved children. So praise and glory to God. Just getting a little fearful here, so I'm going to stop talking.
Amen. No, that's good. That's right. It's still going to be with the Lord. All right, Julie.
One of the things you said, Pat, that I guess I understand, you said something to the effect of because you didn't get or experience what they had in the upper room in the book of Acts, that you the enemy came in there with a doubt that you didn't actually get the Holy Spirit because it didn't things didn't manifest the same way. Is that what you said, or is that what you meant? Okay. Of my own experience, that when I wanted to speak in tongues. I believed I was already filled with the Holy Spirit because of what the changes the Lord had done with me, and how much understanding He had already given me about the Word and what He was saying in the Scripture. So I believe I already had that, but I wanted the gift of tongues, and I knew it existed. I knew it was real. I wasn't believing the lies that it doesn't exist, even though the church I had been going to didn't teach that, and the religion I grew up with, of course, didn't teach that either. But when I came to the Unleavened Bread Ministries, I would sit and I found all the teachings on the Holy Spirit that were on the website, the audios that they shared, their own experience, and there is. I couldn't figure out why. I mean, I was like begging God, I want the gift of tongues, you know, and it wasn't, I just like, how do you do it, you know? And I'd be on the phone praying. I was in a prayer group with some spirit-filled people, and they were praying in tongues, and I'm sitting here, of course, I'm muted. I'm like, I want to pray in tongues. I want to pray in tongues. You know, I was just praying with my mind, of course, but I was, you know, praying with tongues, but I wanted that. But I would listen to everybody, so many different testimonies. There is nobody that has the exact same experience as anybody else, really. And so that put my mind at rest, and I had to just wait, you know, and it was waiting and just believing. And then it came one time after somebody prayed for me personally and just said, I believe you already have it, and you're going to be speaking in tongues. And when I was driving home, I was speaking in tongues, and I just mimicked what he told me, and I just started baby talking, and it turned into a language, and I started praying in the spirit. It happened that, and ever since I got that gift, I'm like, I was like, wow, this is great, you know, and I just kept praying and praying and praying in it. And it's for people to think that, you know, you didn't get it, or you didn't get the right spirit, or maybe there's something there. Generally, it's, I don't know, from what I've understood and all the teachings I've listened to from in other people's experience, there's some stronghold there that, you know, is maybe a doubt or whatever, that the Lord will reveal to you. But for me, I just ask God for, I want all the gifts you want to give me. I want to be used in anything you want to use me for. I want to pray more in the spirit. And I want to do that. And one of the teachings I listened to not long ago, I think Michael sent it to me, was Kenneth Hagin. And it was like a 30, 40-minute teaching, something like that. And it alluded to something about the 7 hours of praying in the spirit, which is what was in that book that Angelica was sharing. So it must have been from something from there. But one of the things he said in there is he goes, just set a timer, give God 15 minutes and just sit there and pray in the spirit. And then the next time you go to do it, you have 30 minutes. But it's like, it might go longer than that. You could do whatever. If you get anointed, if you just surrender to, here's my tongue, use me, and I want to pray more, you'll go past 15 minutes. And it's just a matter of doing it. I used to pray in the car when I was driving. I used to pray when I still pray when I go walking. I pray when I'm vacuuming. I'm praying when I'm washing dishes. I asked the Lord, mentally remind me to be praying in the spirit, because otherwise my mind could even just be, doing else, thinking other things and listening to something else, and I can still be praying in the spirit. And it's a discipline. That was something I learned. But one of the things that helped me and really got me excited, and I'll go back and do it every now and then, is listen to some of those teachings on the website about the Holy Spirit and tongues. And that gets me excited about it even more too, kind of like when Angelica was talking about it, the other night. That got me all excited about it, again. So it's like hearing other people talk about their own experiences with it is motivational. And if I may, I'd like to pray for you, Pat. Yeah? Okay. Well, Father, thank you for Pat. I thank you, Lord, that there is nothing you won't do for us. You've already given Pat this gift, and it's there. And we just come against the enemy of the lies of Satan that he doesn't have it, or he doesn't have the right gift, or he's not doing it right, or he can't sit in obedience to you. He doesn't have to be sitting. He can be whatever. Whatever he's doing, if he just bring it to his mind, just go ahead and pray quietly. Pray in his truck, on his drives, on his commute. He can do it anytime he wants, but just to discipline and to sit and before you and give you this time, I'm going to pray in the spirit, because you tell us to. We've been commanded, in Ephesians 6, the verse about praying at all times in the spirit. And that we're supposed to do that, and praying for our brethren and all these things in the spirit. So, Father, I thank you for doing that for Pat. And we just command every doubt and unbelief and every lie of the enemy that's come into his mind that would hinder him from utilizing the gift that you gave him. And it's a powerful gift. And I know the enemy hates it. He hates it. He doesn't want us praying in the spirit. He'll make up, he'll give us excuses in our minds and our reasonings, our own vain reasonings, or he'll get us distracted about doing something else, or that I can't, or whatever it is. And we forbid it in the name of Jesus. We break that stronghold, whatever you are, off of Pat's mind. And I thank you, Lord, for giving him this gift and him utilizing it and having great experiences with you, one-on-one personal revelations from you, visions from you, increased revelations in your word. All kinds of things come from it, Lord. And I thank you for giving him this breakthrough, Lord, and getting him excited about it and receiving it. It is an awesome thing. And the devil can't get in your way, Pat. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Go ahead, Pat.
I receive it. I'm not going to, I was going to give an example or an explanation about or to describe it, but I am not going to do that now, because it'll, I think, probably get into doubts, or sharing doubts or whatever it would be. So I'll let that go. But so I thank you for that prayer, and I again, I receive it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'll tell you this, Pat. When I started seeking the Holy Spirit, it was months and months and months of crying out to the Lord, I want the Holy Spirit, and gifts of the Holy Spirit, and all that. Man, I thought, well, what in the world is wrong with me that I'm not getting it? And as I've told you before, I was at my shop one day just praising God, and I had a couple of words. Somebody said, well, that might be it, and I started saying those things, and all of a sudden, the power of God came on me, and I spent 4 hours out there speaking in tongues, going around and around at that car that was in my shop at the time. I was just going around and around that car speaking in tongues for 4 hours. And boy, it was awesome. The Lord opened up a lot of things to me at that time. Go ahead. If it's something about what I just said, go ahead, Pat.
So I noticed that what you said is that you prayed, you kept seeking God, and then He gave it. He gave you that power, or He gave you that He came upon you in that way.
As I was praising the Lord, I was praising the Lord, and it just dropped in on me.
Right. So, and I accept that. I take that. The Lord has been showing me a lot relative to that are of praise, being in praise, in that environment of praise, even in the midst of the lack of the appearance of your victory, shall we say. And Julie said the same thing. She kept on and started a few words, and then all of a sudden the Lord gave. So, and you said that He gave because you experienced a before and after. You before that time you hadn't experienced it. After that time you knew you experienced it. So as subtle as that is, and here maybe I'm speaking doubts, I don't know, but it's that transition right there between seeking the Holy Spirit from God, and then knowing that you have received it, because there's something that happens. The receiving of it creates a spiritual ripple, in the force, to use a term. So there's something, a before and after, that happens, and you know that it happened, type of thing. I was, and I equate it, and maybe this is my mind overthinking, but I equate it to that example in John 19, when Jesus, it was after his crucifixion, and he came back and revealed himself to the disciples. Everybody but Thomas was there. Excuse me. And of course, he came in the room and he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know if that was a th their receiving of the Holy Spirit. Well, no, I take it back. That's when they received the Holy Spirit. The experience of Pentecost, I've in my mind, I guess I'm thinking this, is that they had already received the Holy Spirit. The experience in Pentecost is that they received the power of the Holy Spirit, or the presence of the Holy Spirit, after, or a sense of His presence. They received it already when Jesus breathed on them. Now, the result of that in Thomas, he wasn't present in the room at that time. And his mind, he couldn't wrap around that concept that Jesus was there. It was, they called him Doubting Thomas, but his earthly mind, without the perspective of the Holy Spirit of God, he couldn't grasp that reality. It was outside of his frequency spectrum, you might say. He couldn't receive it. He could only receive it when he physically saw Jesus and realized that, yes, it is true. And that's why Jesus said, "You believe me now because you see me, but blessed are those that see me in the spirit, that receive me without physically seeing him." And so those are the things that I'm all over in my mind as to whether or not there's something relative to that I have received the Holy Spirit, but have I received the power, or that transition, that experience that you guys just described, where you were without it, and then you experience that spirit movement in your spirit, and you received it, and there was a transition there. So, not that I'm trying to overemphasize or overthink or talk myself out of faith or anything, but I'm trying to describe, I guess, what I'm experiencing, and so there it is. Praise the Lord.
I start doing this, Pat. Start thanking the Lord for a full language. And I'll tell you, once you get the full language, it changes from time to time depending on what you're praying. Like if you're in intercession, it's one type of tongues, and if you got a war going on, that's a different type of praying. It's just the Holy Spirit directs it all. So, yeah, did you have something you want to say regarding that, Judy?
So let me just say that I agree with exactly that, and I think it's also important to thank him for the experience that I'm going through right now, where I feel that, where I'm experiencing that, I guess you might say, lack, because I believe the Lord has something, there's a purpose for that. There's a purpose for the battle through that. I know that he brought me into this, shall we say, the religious system of in the 80s, and he took me through that path, and there was a reason that he chose to take me through that path as opposed to putting me into a full gospel ministry and experience the things that you guys experienced. I did not go that path. I followed the Lord to a place where I didn't want to go, so to speak. And that's why I shouldn't say I didn't want to go there, but it wouldn't have been my first choice, I guess you might say. But I believe there's purpose in that. There's a reason for that. So I do. I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for exactly the experience that I'm experiencing right now, and the struggles that I'm struggling with right now. And I thank you, Lord, for the victory. And I thank you for the full non-restricted flow of the Spirit, and the Spirit language, through me. And I just praise you for it. Thank you for it, for it is your gift to me and to all of us. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, I thank you for giving him a full language, and I thank you, Father, that he's going to experience it in a manifest way. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. It doesn't have to be, but that's what we're requesting. Amen. Okay, Julie.
Just wanted to add to that, Pat, is I didn't ex like experiencing anything like grand or anything like that. It's just the manifestation of what I was believing for finally came out of my mouth. I was finally praying in the spirit. I finally had a tongue, the tongue language that I wanted. And I don't always feel something. I just do it in obedience, and I do it because I know I need it. And I know that when I'm praying in the spirit, I'm praying right to God about whatever it is he knows I need or what's going on around me. I do it, but I don't always feel anything special about it. And I just pray right now, Father, that you would just give Pat peace about it, that he not put any expectations on himself. If he has that, we just command that to fall off of him in Jesus' name. And he's going to do it, and he's going to be blessed by it. And I would only encourage you just to do it and to set aside time to do it. And God would just take it from there because it's not our works. So if you're in any kind of works, like you feel like you're, whatever the lie is, maybe there that you have to do it or something and you're not getting exactly something you think you should have. I don't know. I know the enemy is very, very wily, and he plays with our minds, so. I just
He's
bless
good
you,
at
Pat. It's
his job.
yeah, but we're still greater. Greater is he that is in you. And the power of that gift of tongues is what he doesn't want you going through and doing for yourself. And because it's against him, He doesn't want you to use it. Praise the Lord.
When Hagen sat down, he said he was going to sit there for I forget, 2 hours. But he ended up a lot longer than that. But anyway, he sat down and he'd be praying in tongues. He'd be praying in tongues. And he looked up at the clock and there was only, he said, I've, he said, man, he said, gosh, it seems like I've been here forever. And he looked up the clock and he'd been there for 9 minutes or whatever it was, little amount of time. But he sat there for, I believe it was 7 hours, wasn't it, Julie? Yeah, sat there for 7 hours. But you got to read what happened during that, because the Spirit of God, he opened up a portal for him that he saw angels and talked to, just did a lot of stuff. It was awesome. Yeah, Barbara, go ahead.
I would like to be able to pray hours in the spirit. I didn't even know that was even possible until recent, or until I heard you first, Michael, speak that. I would like to be able to pray hours in the spirit. I do pray in the spirit every day. But my, I guess I don't have a very large prayer language. And it's funny because I used to, okay, I used to have different, see, I don't know what changed and I don't know what happened that brought me to where I'm at now, but I used to pray in the spirit and I had different prayer language. And I had a warring tongue, where I prayed, I warred, And then I'm back to this only a short prayer language now, and I don't know what the problem is. Anyways, yeah, I'd like to have prayer, I guess. Yeah, I'd
Okay.
like to have prayer.
All right. From this moment on, Barbara, from this moment on, you're going to have a full language. And not only that, you're going to be able to pray as long as you want to. You'll have to decide how long you want to pray. Okay? It's up to you, not the Lord. He wants you to pray for a long time. But
Yeah,
all
pray
right, here
without
we go.
ceasing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, you heard Barbara's request, and I know, Lord, you've already given it to her. And I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that she's going to manifest this full language again in Jesus' name. And I thank you for that. That next time she sits down, she's going to make up her mind. I'm going to sit here for an hour. Then the next day, it's going to be 2 hours or whatever. Whatever she decides to do, she's going to be able to do it. And the language will come. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for your anointing right now upon her
Yes.
life to be able to pray in tongues as long as you need her to. And I thank you for it, Father,
Yes.
in Jesus' name. And you're always wanting her to pray. Thank you,
Thank
Lord.
you, Lord.
Glory be to God. Yeah,
Thank
amen.
you, Father. I received that, Lord. I thank you. I'm thankful for the work that you are doing in me, and I want everything you have for me. I want to be and do just what you want me to be and do and have. And I thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for working in me. And I
Amen.
just praise you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. I like what Joe says. He says, for me, the Holy Spirit edifies. It's not a feeling. Just believe it. It will bear a peaceable fruit in its time. It can be, or it doesn't have to be manifested. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'll go ahead, Missy. You through shaking?
Just fidgeting, trying to pay attention at times. Thank you, Lord, for helping me to pay attention in the evening. It's like the end of the day and I'm wrung out. But anyway, thank you, Lord. Anyway, well, I want to share my experience. I'm not sure if I ever really ex shared my experience on it. Getting filled and speaking in tongues. When I first came to the Lord, I was going to an assembly of God, and I didn't really hear much teaching about it. I heard some people now and then speak in tongues, and there was this one man, I forget what his name was, this one brother. He had a really deep, kind of a deep, coarse voice, and when he would speak in tongues, you know. One person, it was kind of scary to them that wasn't familiar with the whole thing. But anyway, because they didn't understand. But anyway, but my boy's dad's cousin prayed for me. Her name was Carol. She, I don't, if this was so long ago, this was like, I don't know. Back in mid to late 90s or something, I believe. Anyway, it was late 90s. And I think she brought it up or whatever and was talking to me about it. And she didn't say a whole lot about that I can recall, but she said about, you know, asked if I've ever was had anybody pray for me, I think, or whatever, to be filled with the Spirit and speak in tongues. And she just prayed for me, and she had this little prophetic word, you know, just basically that the Father loved me, and the Father, you know, through her said that he loved me or whatever. I don't remember what all it was. It wasn't very long. But anyway, so all she said to me was, and mind you, I didn't know a whole lot about it. I just knew that it was something that was in the Bible, and I've heard other people, and I didn't really have much of any teachings about it, really per se. So she just prayed for me, and she said, "Now, when you're alone, just open your mouth, and you know, just start to let it, you know, just let it come." And so then later on that day, I was up in my bedroom and I did, and it was just like mumbling at first. And I don't recall that I did it much after that, but maybe once in a great while. I mean, I didn't know. She didn't She didn't really teach me much of anything about it or whatever. And then not until, oh, I'd say probably 10 years later, this sister was talking about it to me, talking about it, about praying in tongues and stuff like that. And I started to do it more then. And then, but not very often, and not until I came here to the outreach, did I really start praying more and praying in the spirit more and more and more and more. And I think the more I did it, the more I did it, the more the broader my language got it. What I've found in anything in my life, if I wanted to be better at something, the more I did it, the better I got. That's just period. The easier it gets, like the more I pray in the spirit, the more the more I want to do it, the more bigger my language gets, the more I pray, the more I even pray in general, the more I want to do it. The more I read God's word, the more I want to do it. The better that I get with it, the more I understand. You know, it's just that's, and I think that's probably that's just a common thing. The more you do something, the better you get at it. You know, that's my experience. So, and I didn't have a lot of teaching. I didn't have anything to think about. You know, like a, to analyze it or whatever, you know, the whole thing, which I think was to my benefit. I didn't overthink it or anything like that. So anyway, that's my experience.
Well,
Just thought
I
I'd
can tell
share.
you what Hagin did. He just made up his mind. He said, "I'm going to sit here and I'm going to do it because God asked me to do it in His Word. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to pray in the Spirit for this amount of hours." And there was a lot of distractions at the first, but he finally settled in and just did it. It's something we have to make up our mind to do, it looks like to me. All right, go ahead, Pat.
So you made a comment. You said you believe it opens up a portal. That's, kind of a mystical type of sound. But what does that, can you relate script that, what scripture are you thinking of when you say it opens up a portal or brings forth, opens a doorway, a pathway? Now that I'm even saying that, I'm thinking of something right now. let me go ahead, and
Well,
I'm going to pull up a scripture, but go ahead.
I'm not, I didn't quote a scripture. I just did it, and the spiritual thing started happening almost after I did the 4 hours and things after that. I started seeing things in the spirit realm. It's like I said, it's a doorway into the spiritual. And there's probably scripture, but I hadn't studied that path. I just experienced it. I see
Okay.
them when we get together in fellowship. I see angels. I see Jesus. If you've listened to the Friday night, I don't know if you've heard me talk about Jesus sitting up there in an oak chair.
Yeah.
He's sitting up there in an oak chair, right over there. And but yeah, it opens up. I wasn't seeing visions at all. I wasn't seeing into the spiritual at all until I started speaking in tongues a lot. I'll put it that way.
Interesting. I'm looking at Psalm 68:4. And of course, that whole interesting. In verse 1, it says, Psalm of David, a song, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. And I'm taking this in the context of praise brings God into your presence, into the present through your voice of praise. But let the righteous be glad, let them exalt before God, let them rejoice with gladness, sing unto God, sing praises unto his name. And this is the part that I was thinking of. Cast up a highway for him that rides through the deserts. His name is the Lord, and exalt ye before him. And in our praise of his name, it casts up a highway for him to travel on, for him to make that way, to make his way on the highway. There's another verse I'm thinking of now that says, he inhabits the praises of his people. He inhabits them, those praises. So I don't know if, maybe that is, that's what I'm thinking as far as a portal opening, as you're saying, or whatever. But
Well, that's
yes.
just my vernacular. I mean, it's just a doorway into heaven to me. It's a
Yeah.
doorway into the spiritual. Joe put up a good scripture too. It's Jude 1:20. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. That builds up your faith also. It builds up your faith to see things. You can see things. In the spirit, Hagen had that thing. Hagen had he had a wonderful experience with. I've had wonderful experiences seeing in the spirit. Other people out here have seen wonderful things in the spirit. Debbie has seen things in the spirit. Debbie Finsky, and some of the other y'all have. Some of y'all have too.
Is this ex that example that Kenneth Hagin is giving, is that in that book that that you posted? I'm in the process of reading that. Yeah, so.
That's a good one. And Kurt Blake has one too. It's called Concerning Tongue. It's a big trick book. There's a lot of people got some on concerning on tongues and stuff. You can find it all over the web. E.W. Kenyon talks about it.
Okay.
So does E.M. Bounds. Some of those older guys. David talks about a lot as well. David, it's Pat, I wish you were here. You would experience some of this stuff that I'm having to experience. And it's you can't limit God with anything. You cannot limit God. I'm telling you, if you limit God, you limit yourself. I guarantee you. We live in a realm, supernatural realm, that anything is possible. Anything is possible. Believe me. And it's even happening. So I would recommend everybody pray in the spirit a lot. And like you said, I pray in the spirit. I come down the stairs, I'm praying in the spirit. I go in the kitchen to cook myself some breakfast or something, or David some breakfast or whatever. I'm praying in the spirit. Because we live in a supernatural world. That's heaven. We're bringing heaven down here, aren't we? Isn't that our job? Bring the kingdom of heaven to here? And the way we do that is to show the power and the authority that Jesus has given us with the signs and wonders and all of that kind of stuff. It's fixing to happen. Oh, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Ooh, it's going to happen. It's going to be an awesome time. And I would say this, and this is Michael talking, not anybody else. If you want to pray in tongues for a long time, make up your mind to do it and do it. That's the simple answer. I know, but and I know. Listen, we were all brought up in a busy world. We got to have something going on all the time, and we want something quick, 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 all the time. But a lot of times it takes time to do things in the scripture, man. And once you get a vision, let me say this too. Once you get a vision, look for another one. Look for another one. Just keep looking for another one. Keep looking for another one. And it'll happen. Just have faith to believe that what God's going to use me in this area. That time he brought Jesus up out the floor, danced with David. I said, good gracious. David couldn't sing. Only one other person saw him. You know who it was? Me and Jesus. But it was confirmed to David that it happened. That was the best one, Pat. That was the best one. Go ahead,
How
Pat.
did he confirm it to David?
I'm sorry.
How did Jesus confirm that that happened to David?
David asked him
Oh,
in
okay.
prayer, said,
All
did
right.
that really happen? And the Lord told him, yeah, it happened. Did Michael tell you? Said, you danced with me. What, you think you was out there dancing by yourself? No, he didn't say that, but that's just me.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Julie.
I just wanted to add, when Missy said that the more she did it, that it increased, her language increased and stuff. And I remember praying with, I used to be on the phone having just fellowship with a sister, and her prayer language wasn't that much. I didn't know that, but she shared with me later that she really didn't have much of a prayer language. But she said, since I started praying with you on the phone, because we always prayed in tongues, we always prayed in, the natural, we always prayed in tongues. She said the more that she did that with me, it was just an encouragement with her. Plus, it was whatever the Lord was doing. I wasn't doing anything. I was just praying, But she said her prayer language increased, and she was praying more in the spirit the more she did it. And so I just want to, just to testify that it can work that way. The more you pray, it will increase. And the other thing that helped me too is, like, when I read in the scriptures about, when the Apostle Paul said, I thank God. I thank God I pray more in tongues than you all. I'm like, well, if he can say that, look what God gave him and what he did with him, And then the Apostle John, he said at least once, I was in the spirit in the Lord's on the Lord's day. He was in the spirit. He was up, he was in the spirit, and look what all he saw, the whole book of Revelation. So it's a powerful gift, and I want more. I want more. I want more of God. How do I get more of God? How do I get closer? How do I know you more? I love you. I want to know you more. I want to see you. I want to experience you. I want everything you have for me. How do I get there? And I know that's one way to get there. And I know the enemy does not want us doing it. So fight against the resistance. Like we've all been saying, it's the same thing. It's just fight, fight, fight. The devil's under our feet, and press through. And it's one of the it's one of the best gifts, and I want more of it. I want more Jesus. I want more of all the gifts. I'm not limiting God. I want to be used in all the gifts. And I want him to use me, so I have to be, to the end of me, empty of me, so he can fill me and use me. But yeah, I want more. I want more. I know there's more. I know there's more than I hear other people's testimonies, what they experience. And it's not always about the experience. I know it's all coming. I'm waiting for the latter rain, but I know I have it now. I have this gift now. But I want to experience more because I know there's more. I know there's more, and I want it. Amen.
Amen. Just because the anointing come, I'm going to expound a little bit on what Judah just said. Don't wait on the anointing. Go ahead and ask God for it. Yeah. Go ahead and ask him for it and believe that you have received and you got it. Guarantee. All right. Go ahead. Hey, Ben, Andrew, Ben, whichever.
Yeah, I was gonna just remind you people that there are seven ones in Ephesians 4 and 4 to 4 and 6. This is one body. And when we come together in fellowship like this, you know there's more. You say, hey, I've never heard that before. I never heard of this more full language you can have in the tongues, or I had something there once and you still have it. It's just, it's there because the Lord's bringing this body fitly knit together to the body that he wants you to have. And it's one body. It's one spirit. It's one hope of the hope of your calling. It's one Lord. It's one faith. It's one baptism. And this immersion into something should be the word, should be the spirit, and should be the blood of the Lamb, the blood, and because these are the three that bear record. How do you bear record with blood? Okay, how do you bear record with spirit? You can bear record with word, but the word still needs to sanctify us sometimes to the fullness of these capabilities of these tongues and the discernment of the tongue and the prophecy of the word and to be able to call someone out and say, you are there in the third row, you've got this problem. Like, how does he know that, and call him out, and that's just a revelation that God does work, and how much more is that we should be able to take in, to have, and these items that you read of, hopefully in the New Testament on a daily basis, how to make a comparison,
Yeah.
how to see that this witness of, for instance, with me being in the third chapter of Luke, how it'll apply today. I remember him even bringing up that chapter when he was trying to tell us that the whole world had to be enrolled, and how does this witness come out of us to have those details of these warnings coming out of our mouth for the people around us? And what is the extent of how much of these different words that came out of John the Baptist and the spirit of Elijah? But for this day, for God to use us to get the church back in order and
Amen.
in decency and order that it's supposed to be. And not this multiverse divisions of different vernaculars and different sayings and stuff, which gives you a headache. And you don't want a headache. You want God to give us the focused, clear mind on these things. And that's what it says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's different from Jesus's sacrifice because he had to go somewhere. Holy, well-pleasing unto God, your spiritual service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed with the renewing of your mind. And the mind is where God writes his ready word on there so that you can have the new covenant to love him with. And the heart is there too, you know. Our heart's enlarged. He said to the Corinthians, you know, we need our hearts enlarged too. And he's signifying to these things as a form of grace that God will do for us when we ask. Ask, seek, knock. How much more will your heavenly Father give? We, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children. But how much more will your heavenly Father give to you the Holy Spirit to them that ask? You know, that's the motorcycle going by. Anyway, I don't know if you heard it, but yeah, so. I mean,
I thought it was the rush of the Holy Spirit coming into that room.
actually, we went to A&W today and I saw my first two bikes in the summer. I hear a lot more of them, but you know, and it was interesting just to see a bike, you know. Anyway, it's hard to keep bikes up here in Canada because that's what I was told. It's such a short season. Anyway. Anyone in the northern states probably knows the same thing. Anyway, so yeah, and it's exciting, the word. I want the word to be even more exciting for me than it ever has been. And I want to see things come off of the page, enter here and stay here. And even if it's not here, he can put it in there. That's just something that he can do, you know. Like if you're studying something, he'll just download with those verses that you're studying, and you'll go, hey, how, where did, when did this happen, you know? And it's wonderful to have it, and personal study and corporate study, yeah. So I like the way it flowed from the last meeting into Wednesday night, because I was encouraged there too, on both with David and Michael, glory to God, and even today. So, you know, and you know, sometimes you'll have all these people being encouraged, but you might have someone there in the sidelines, you know. He's got to get kind of ushered in by the big shepherd's cane. Hey, come on now. We're trying to get everyone around, you know. And I've been there, you know. I've been there. Oh, everyone's so excited here, but I'm in the dumps out there. I have to get back in line here somehow, you know. And you go, and then you get all these crazy things going through your head. Oh, I must have did something. And, oh, I like that term when he goes blah blah blah. That's the devil trying to get you again. And I'm going, oh man, it really is a bunch of blah blah, and I don't like it, and I don't want to hear from him. And I gotta just focus on those words because God said it. And this New Testament is as if you were sitting across the table talking to Jesus or God himself. Now, I don't know. The Holy Spirit's omnipresent, and he's supposed to teach us all things and remind us of everything anyway. So, and it says that in, where does it say that? I don't know, but it does say that. And it also says in Philippians, it says it too, and, but just with different words. So he'll reveal it to you in the time when you need it. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? I think tongues is the most important gift that the Holy Spirit has given us. A lot of denominations think it's the least one, but it's not. It's really important. in my estimation, because it does so much for us. It edifies you also. Go ahead, Andrew.
I just want to stress that one body thing, because it is one body, and you don't have to be the big tough guy, because it's one body. And that you see, when he counseled us that when we come to prayer and get together, that's still the one body praying. And I don't want to use the word minutia, but whatever's going on in your mind, because I don't know if I'm using it right, could be something different in your buddy's mind beside you, and the aspect of him seeing it from a different direction, but it's still the same concept, where he's going to say, well, I'm going to pray this because I think this could be happening here, and where did that thought come from? If the Lord is our Lord, he's our Lord. And it should come to be that way with the one body and one spirit. The first two of those is telling us something real powerful there, because that's the spirit of God. And like he's trying to train us, touch. Don't touch that unclean thing. I know he's tempting you. And you know he's tempting you. If you know he's tempting you, come on now. The Holy Spirit's got to give you that reminder of what he already taught you to overcome it, to use your sword, praise and glory to God. And the three agree in one, the spirit, the water, and the blood. If that water is going to sanctify you, it's going to make you that spirit and that lifestyle that you're supposed to. The life is in the blood, and it's going to make you do that. It's your cooperation is to the uttermost, and that's there's a word where he uses the uttermost too in 7:25 of Hebrews. Might not be able to quote it offhand now, but I know it's there. So praise and glory to God.
Go ahead, Pat.
I was just reading that scripture Andrew was talking about there. In Ephesians 4:4, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye also were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is over all and through all and in all. But unto each of us was the grace given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. This is, and then this next one is what my eye caught as I was looking at it. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And it's kind of the first that I've seen that in that way, that he came and he took captivity captive. He took it's like he took everything that could oppose us or restrict us or hinder us. He took it captive for himself. Now he is in charge of that. And It's now in his hands, in under his authority, under his rule. And then, as a result, he gives gifts unto men. So, and I guess that's why we, when we go through our struggles and our those things that seem to oppose us or come against us, we give thanks in all things, including those oppositions that come into our life, because Jesus now owns all of that influence. That is now his. He took it captive to use as he sees fit in our life. And because he utilizes all these things to work out the good, work these things out, and so that they appear and result in good, bringing good into our life through that process and that influence. So anyway, it's just that verse kind of jumped out at me.
Listen to what it says in this book. It says, usually people who get weary in well-doing, can y'all hear me okay? Okay. In well-doing are not speaking in other tongues very often. As you begin to pray in other tongues and speak in other tongues, it begins to lift you, and it does. You can start to go down, but then you begin praying in tongues again, and tongues will build you back up. They just help carry you on. And again, you have to lay precept upon precept, line upon line, so that you'll be able to get deeper and deeper as you go along with this. And a reason to pray, speak in other tongues, to be praying in other tongues, is because tongues gives you a rest. They give you a refreshing. Praying in tongues refreshes you. And he goes on, he says, so many times I hear churches talk about looking for a time of refreshing and how they are waiting for the Holy Spirit to come and refresh them. Right there, he says, if you want refreshing, pray in tongues. To pray in tongues, you will be refreshed. He didn't say wait until you are refreshed. He said, this is the refreshing. Praying in tongues is the refreshing. And if you want a refreshing, if you want a time for God to move freely in your midst, begin praying in other tongues. And it does that. I can attest to that, and I'm sure everybody else can. It does that. He refreshes you, it builds you up, spiritually speaking.
Is that Curry Blake you were reading out of? I remember reading that,
Yeah.
but I don't have that book. What book is that?
Concerning tongues.
Hmm.
We can get it online.
Okay.
That's Jude 120.
Do what?
Jude 120. It's one of the verses
Yeah.
I think
Yeah.
came up by Joe, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in
That's a good
the
book.
search, in the chat.
Yeah, it's a real good book. He goes in depth a lot, Pat, and it's a good book in my estimation.
It says that in chapter 14 too of 1 Corinthians about the edifications in the tongues.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. Amen. All right, Judy's going to sing a song for us.
Michael, one more time. What was the title again? Concerning tongues.
Concerning tongues. Hagin's got books on them. Summerall's got books on them. Kenyon's got books on them, or articles. David's got them. He's got a series on tongues also. I think it's one of the most important gift that you can have, personally, myself. Go
Amen.
ahead, Julie.
The song I'm going to play is it just came out about the time I got saved, and just a little story with it. I was driving on the I-5 southbound. I'm merging on, and there's a semi-trailer, and on his cab, he had the scriptures to this song on it. And I can't remember if this song came on the radio shortly after, I got on the freeway or whatever, but I saw that and I'm like, that's that song. Anyhow.
is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They'll soar high on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint.
That'd be a good song to pray in the spirit with. Praise God. That's an old song. I hadn't heard that one in a long time, but I like it.
About 20 years old.
Yeah. Did you have something, Missy?
I was just going to say thanks for playing that, Joey, because I hadn't heard it in a long time either. So that was good. Thanks.
Yeah, I like that song. See if I can get Chuck to play it.
You guys played it in the live stream here a few weeks ago.
Did we?
When I heard you guys play it, I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't heard that song in a long time. You know.
I must have been in Arkansas.
I don't remember if you were there or not, to be honest. But you guys did play it one time. It's on the song list in the book.
I'm glad you told me that. I'm gonna get him to play it for Friday night. If I can, I might have to, you know, persuade him. No, I don't have to do that. He did anyway. Okay, anybody else got anything? We'll go over this other stuff some other time. It's been a good night. I enjoyed talking about tongues because that's a good gift. How many of you have experienced other gifts from the Holy Spirit? Yeah, Pat, what'd you have?
Well, I shared I considered it a gift. Are you speaking about like the gift of healings or that sort of thing?
Well, whatever, yeah.
I experienced, I gave a testimony. It was the last time I was at our retreat that we go to Outer Banks every year. And that was at that time when, you know, I was supposed to give a message and the Lord did not give me anything to say. And so I went to the meeting and said, all right, Lord, you know, this is going to be a bit short if you don't do something. And I spoke for about an hour, and all I did was follow the next thought that he gave me, you know. I can't imagine doing that, planning to do that myself. You know, it was just, I was kind of forced into it. But I considered that a gift. You know, he gave it to me, and that was all there is to it. So,
amen. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? We still got a few minutes left. How about the gift of healing? Has anyone ever experienced the gift of healing? Yeah, Julie, tell us about it. All right.
I know the Lord has used me in that gift.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times he had me pray for people. I didn't always see the manifestation of it. It was just being there at the right time and praying for somebody. There's other times where the person felt something, but you know, I Anyhow, I know that's a gift that God's going to use me in. I believe that. He's given me again. I'm not. This is something I guess I would like more clarity on. What's the difference between the gift of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom? There's, I
Oh,
mean, they're
that's
listed
easy. We talk
separately,
about
but
that. That's a good
they're
one. That's a good
separately. Yeah,
question.
they're listed separately, but how do you, how what's what, you know?
That's a good one. Now
Andrew
that's
knows.
going to remind you that there's the discerning of spirits in the revelation gifts still, the three of them.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. I've experienced that gift too a little bit, the discerning of spirits.
Yeah.
That one I think is also is it increases the discerning, because there's some really good verses in First John chapter 4, for discerning of spirits. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits. So praise the Lord God.
David did a teaching on that particular verse one time. Anybody ever remember what he said?
Which verse?
What he just quoted about proving
Testing the
this.
spirits.
About word of knowledge. Has anybody ever experienced the words of knowledge? Yeah.
That's why I asked you what the difference was. It's because I know I've heard the Lord speak to me something, and then it came to pass. It was just something personally to me that he told me that I heard him say. And then it actually happened the way he told me it was going to happen.
Okay. Yeah, Pat.
I don't know this for a fact, but I'm just logically, I guess, looking at it and saying that the word of knowledge is would be more of a specific thing that you receive, a certain bit of knowledge that you receive, maybe based upon for a specific incident. And I would think more that the word of wisdom or the gift of wisdom would be more of a seeing or perceiving of say God's perspective on a particular subject or something. May not be a piece of information. Like I think, wasn't it who was the evangelist of the 50s, in the 50s or maybe
William
six,
Branham.
Branham, that functioned in the word of knowledge of like pointing some, I think Andrew gave an example, pointing somebody in the second row, you have such and such, we're going to pray for you type thing. I think that was more of a word of knowledge, correct?
Yeah, word of knowledge is something that's happened, and you're not you don't have any way of knowing that it did happen, and the person that hears it understands that he didn't, and it just if you've ever watched Branham, that's what it was. He'd give them something that happened in the in their past, or that was going on at the moment. That was the word of knowledge. Word of knowledge is, I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's pick this up. We're out of time. Let's pick this up. I don't even know what today is. What's today? Is this Tuesday?
Thursday.
Thursday. Okay, Thursday. Let's pick it up next Tuesday. The gifts of the Spirit. We can go through that. That's a good one. That's a good one to go through. So, Lord, we just thank you for another. Remember what we prayed, Julie, before we come on tonight? Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayer in Jesus' name. We praise you and we thank you for everybody that enjoyed tonight's outreach. And Lord, we ask that you bless the ones that are wanting another language. I ask, Lord, that you give them a full language. I thank you, Lord, it's already in the makings. In Jesus' name, I declare and decree everybody that wants it's got it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Y'all be blessed. You hear? I see y'all.